This car is the most honest car you ever see.
It's been a dream ever since I've had it.
The first time I heard that engine screaming, I thought, I gotta have one of those.
For me, the cars have personality.
What's great about a BMW Classic is the community that surrounds it.
When you listen to that, that's why we're here.
Welcome to Classic Heart, the BMW Group Classic Podcast. This is JP, and my guest today is Stefan Bogner. He lives in Munich and dedicates his passion and work to something we all love, curves. In his Curves magazine and books, he presents his photography of the most beautiful mountain passes, serpentines, and coastal roads all over the world. Something that inspires to go on road trips, imaginary, on the sofa, or in real life. So, Stefan, is that essentially what Curves is?
Yeah, first, thanks for the invitation. It's great to be here. It's a travel guide, actually. It's more maybe a guide which inspires you to go on the road. Mm-hmm. And it should be a travel guide for the people. It's a big travel guide.
If you say big, what do you refer to?
Well, it has 300 pages. That's pretty unusual for a travel guide.
Yes.
It's filled mostly with pictures. It's where you want to go, where you want to drive, where you want to be. And, there are some restaurants in there, hotels, places to stay. Yeah, and of course, a suggested road which you want to drive once in your lifetime, maybe.
So are the photos taken by you? Because you're also a photographer, besides a very creative person, you also make photography some big part of your life.
Yes, actually, I was never a photographer. I studied industrial design and had a design agency based on consumer goods, like skis, bicycles, and all that stuff, corporate design. Mm-hmm. And for Curves, which was my own project, I had no budget. So I had to do it by myself. And I think that was one of the best decisions of my life. Yeah.
In preparation of our call, I just went through some of the magazines. Just looking at them take you away and gives you a little holiday break on your sofa at home, because you then imagine yourself driving these roads. You mentioned already that this travel guide is a bit different. And what would you say is the major point that differentiates Curves from other travel guides like Baedeker or others?
Well, for example, if you go to Paris, you see the landmarks like Eiffel Tower, of course, or in New York, you go to the skyscrapers.
Yeah.
And with Curves, it's the road which is the site. And the roads, for me, it's, as I dived in deeper, I would call it the pyramids of road building.
Yeah.
It's like a landmark also, an architectural piece of art. So I would say it's a travel guide dedicated to roads.
Roads are made to drive on them. So no matter if it's four wheels or two wheels, or even walking on roads can be very beautiful, especially those you chose. How important is driving to yourself? So is that maybe also the base for creating Curves?
I had a busy design agency with about 20 employees. So you're super busy all the time. At home, I got two kids, super busy also. So my escape actually was the car. The car is the only place where I'm totally in control. You know, it's a kind of a me time thing. Mm-hmm. And as I'm based in Munich, mountains are very close. I was skiing and snowboarding in the Alps and hiking. So I took my car for weekends or for just maybe a 1 or 2 day trip. And that gave me kind of a quality time for me. Mm-hmm. I get actually my best ideas in the car. I always have a sketchbook. And I said, like, there's no magazine. There's actually no magazine dedicated to roads, no magazines with empty roads on. Mm-hmm. It sounded a bit crazy. Everybody looked at me like, why should you make a magazine, a car magazine without cars, for example? And so like, yeah, I think there's a market for that.
Yeah.
So I just did it.
Yes, there are lots of automotive magazines out there specialized in all directions: cars, sports cars, motorcycles, camper vans, high-end luxury, do-it-yourself restoration, actually for everything. And as well, there's endless travel magazines and guides, but only a few concentrate on just the road. I like it. I really like it. I mean, concentrating on the thing that we all want to explore. That's the road. But I was asking myself, what's the magic in taking these pictures of empty roads? How do you do it? How do you feel while shooting?
So you're actually alone in nature. Nobody's around you. You just have the weather, the landscape, the road. And you just walk up and down and take pictures.
Yeah.
And I'm traveling not more with two or four people. When you do film, it's four. It's maximum.
Mm-hmm.
Very small. And I like to keep it that way, that it's still kind of a me time thing.
Yeah.
You're out there. No vacation time, so there are not too many people traveling. Early morning, I think that's just beautiful.
And how do you plan these road trips? So, I mean, we know that there are beautiful passes or there are other nice roads to drive on, but how do you find them? Because the books are a bit, let's say, not monothematic, but they have one theme, which is like Switzerland, or then you combine France, Italy together. But how do you plan all this? Where do you get the inspiration from?
I did travel magazines for Mer de Mont, which is one of the biggest travel publisher in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt in love with their maps when I was working for them.
Okay.
And still, a good map is the best inspiration source, because a map has developed over hundreds of years. So I still buy maps in big scale, like 1 to 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're able to read a map, which is pretty easy, like the topography and all that stuff, you will see the roads, you know, they speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you will see when there's a spaghetti somewhere in the mountains, you know, that might be a good road. Yeah, that's my inspiration. For example, if you take the map of Switzerland, you will find tons of roads, and then you just combine them. It's like planning a holiday for yourself. You know, you want to make a round trip. You have about a week or two time, Patagonia maybe four. And then you just follow the flow of a map, kind of.
Yeah.
So I think you just can read what's in there. It's pretty easy. And then there's Instagram. You can call people up, or you can just post, oh, I'm going to be, for example, in Japan. Next morning, you get like maybe 30, 40 answers. Oh, you need this road. Oh, you have to eat here. Oh, this is hotel is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So you combine everything. And I always do it in winter, like a half year before.
Okay.
And actually, then you have kind of a plan. Like Sardinia, for example, I will do that in 3 weeks. So I prepared it quite good with hotels and the roads. And 50% you should freestyle, because you're there and it might be a bit different of what you think. So same in Iceland. The Icelanders always said, Stefan, you know, don't go with your plan, go with the weather. As I'm a German, you're always very planned, you know, okay, 6 o'clock here, 6:15 there. But you should relax, you know, you should just go with the flow.
I drive sometimes from between Zurich and Hamburg. And then I decide to go a bit off the Autobahn because I'm not in a rush. I plan accordingly. And I like to see this brownish signs which saying this is a landmark. And then you say, okay, it's interesting to see the Roman Limes Museum and things you never actually go directly to see. So I think the beauty is actually a bit of freestyling while you're traveling.
I think also the most interesting things are not planned. It's like in life. It's maybe karma also. They come to you in a way. So if you slow down, things will find their way.
There was this one song which has this nice line. I think it's from Simon and Garfunkel. Slow down and feeling groovy. I think that was the song. I think that's a good travel song as well.
And for me, always when I go to a travel, like the first 3 days, I'm kind of in a rush. I always like, okay, mm-hmm. Let's go. Tzaki, tzaki. And yeah, tzaki, tzaki is like a word, you know. And people know me. I'm like always on then. You know, my wife says there are two things in my life. It's whether on or off.
Yeah.
And so on my trips are always on. So imagine me in Iceland in June, where you have 24 hours of daylight. You know, I hardly sleep.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, I'm going to miss this. Oh, I have to be here. But in a way, after 2 days, you have to come down, maybe take a break. You know, I never took a break before.
Mm-hmm.
Even on a 4 weeks trip, I never took a day break. And my partner or my the film team, they were going crazy and said, like, I need a break. And it's like, why? You know, this is so great. This is like, this is, for me, it's relaxation. Even if it's a 12 or 16 hour day, it's filled with so much input, memories, and it does not feel like a job. It is a job, it's a hard job, but it's so satisfying.
And you are not only driving on the roads, you also fly above them, right?
For the aerial shots, of course, I have a little drone, but for the higher stuff, I rent a helicopter or a plane, and I don't enjoy the helicopter ride. You know, I work there. I'm sitting out there looking for the picture. So people said, oh, you're flying around in a helicopter. Nice. You know, it's not a vacation. It's producing. So you need the shot. You know, it's a lot of tension always in me to get the right shot. And I forced myself always to go for 1 minute. I mostly rent a helicopter for 60 minutes because it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
And I take 1 or 2 minutes where I just am out there, you know, a door open, and I don't take any pictures, just flying around for 2 minutes, the most expensive 2 minutes, of course.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of, okay, let's enjoy the trip a bit.
Yeah.
I used to rush it maybe 5 years ago. For example, I did Switzerland in a week, you know, the whole thing in a week. It's crazy. And I recently redid it and I took 3 weeks. And even if you're there for 4 or 5, 6 times, it's always different. A mountain road is always different. The nature is always different. Weather is different. Everything is different, but it's always the same road.
So if you look at the photos, you barely see other cars on your photos. Are they photoshopped away or you time it just right?
Timing. I never go in vacation time. I mostly go in spring or fall, off season, travel off season. So with photography, it's not that difficult. Sometimes you have cars on the road and you just wait a bit. Then with a helicopter, you can't wait for 10 minutes. So sometimes I use Photoshop, but I try to avoid it.
Yeah.
So I'm always there early morning and off season, definitely off season.
Yeah, that helps.
A lot.
We spoke a lot about how you get this magazine and the books as well created and how the process works. It would be interesting to understand more about you personally. And a question that we ask a lot is, what is your first or earliest automotive memory? If you look back, how old are you now, Stefan?
55.
You look much younger, I have to say.
Oh, thank you very much.
Flowers in the morning.
If I look in the mirror, I don't have that feeling, but thanks a lot. My parents always had nice cars. My mother was always a person with like, let's get a car which is overpowered. So my dad, my first memory kind of was my dad in a Porsche Targa. And we were driving to Switzerland to ski and we were both sitting in the back of the car. The roof was open and I had a lot of hair that time, you know, early 70s, like hippie style. So, you know, I can still feel my hair in the wind. And I think that's one of my first memories.
Yeah, that's a very nice one, I think. And would you ever consider to do something with cars when you grew up?
No. I always loved cars. I made my driver license 1986 when I was 18. There was no internet and nothing. So the freedom of that time was to escape from your parents' house.
Yeah.
So the car was always a good companion. So I did a lot of road trips. And still, if I go even on a business trip, I don't feel like driving. I still feel like being on a road trip because, you know, I always put on good music and have a good time.
And I completely understand that. And I'm sure I'm not the only one because all those listeners who like driving have the same feeling about it because driving is a kind of a meditation for me, meaning you drive and your mind's floating around while you're going from A to B. No one disturbs you. You're with the car. And as you said, you turn on good music. So it's really a special state of mind driving. But Stefan, we were talking about you as a young person. So your family name, Buchner, refers to the famous performance sportswear brand, right?
It's the famous name Bogner. So of course I can ski. I had to ski.
Of course, and you can do fire
and
ice.
I'm always in the mountains, so that's my DNA. DNA still, you know. Well, I don't do slopes. I do roads, but it's still
from Bogner, from slopes to roads.
Yeah, kind of. So I mean, it's like your, what's called, it's like your DNA. You know, it's just like you can't escape from it. And I love being in the mountains, 4 degrees. I love it, you know. Mm-hmm. So that must be from my parents, grandparents.
Yeah.
So they had a company in the States and my father was working over there. And of course, we were always traveling. And he had a very nice Bronco and one of these station wagons. And we were traveling around. So, you know, the smell of the car, the leather and the oil, everything is like... How would I say it? It just merged with me, kind of, mm-hmm. You know. It's still, if you go into a car, the first thing is the haptics, the touch, you know.
Yeah.
The noise, what it does when you close the door, if it's good or bad. The smell, like the surrounding, how it's designed, it just touches me a lot. Well, I studied industrial design, so, you know, this is kind of like what I do all the time. So...
But why not car design, Stefan? I mean, that would be something.
Oh, no, why not fashion design, first question? I didn't have any talent for fashion, I would say. Mm-hmm. And for car design, also not, you know. I liked consumer goods, kind of. Mm-hmm. And then I did a lot of graphics for techno clubs and restaurants and all that stuff and music. So car design, sixth semester, I kind of failed.
So you tried it?
Yeah, we had to do it. Like if you study industrial design, there's one semester of car design, transportation design. And I just couldn't, even if I loved cars, I couldn't draw one.
But you had other talents that turned out very well, I have to say. And you kept your love for cars, that's for sure. What was your first car, by the way?
I had a 50 Vespa when I was 17. I felt in love with that piece of metal. And my first car was given to my parents, which was a Lancia R110 Abarth. You know, mm-hmm. one of these very little Italian, not reliable cars with a lot of power. Good memories with that car, of course. You know, it's just like this Italian kind of weird design and plastic mm-hmm. and metal and craziness. Italian soul.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then it went on and on with different brands. But I enjoyed every car.
As a designer, what do you think of electric cars?
When the electric cars came out, I was wondered, how, you know, you can actually rewrite the design. You know, you don't need a hood anymore.
Yes.
You can do everything.
Yes.
So, for example, with BMW, the E3, when it came out, mm-hmm. a very progressive car.
Yes. Yeah,
amazingly radical. Progressive car. It's I think, more older than 10 years. Huh? How old is it now?
Yeah, it must be. Yes.
Yeah, but if you see it today on the road, you know, it's still striking.
Yeah,
it still indeed. Touches me a lot.
Yeah.
The same with other car manufacturers. The same with the R2 from Audi, for example.
Yeah.
Great example of doing something. It was too ahead of the time, I would say.
Yeah.
I would love to have this car today. As it is small, you know, I live in a city as well. I would need a small, spacious car.
Yeah, I think, so there are 2 points that you mentioned. That what I find interesting is that the i3 is one of the most talked about BMW in this podcast, funny
interesting.
Enough.
Mm-hmm.
But the i3, when it comes up to model design, is always unisono. Everyone is saying this design was striking and really changed a lot. And it's amazing how that's something, because I'm a big fan of that car. I've always been, because it's very spacious, as you said. From the outside, it's very small and it's very practical. And for me, the i3 is one of the best examples of a city car.
For me, the i3, that's, you know, I'm a fan of a different brand, as you know, maybe.
Sure.
And
it's Porsche. That's no
it's
secret.
It's Porsche. You know, for me, it's a very good interface for mountain roads. But the i3 did something which was, I will never remember in my life, is I was in the States at a friend and she was working for Design Works for a while for BMW as an interior designer. And she had an i3. She said, like, oh, I don't know. When was the last time I went to a fuel station? I was like, whoa, why? Because she had some solar panels on her roof. She was charging for free. Then I went in the car and that totally changed my mind because I was sitting in kind of a future thing.
Yes.
With bamboo and, you know, as I'm a designer, I was looking around. It's like I was totally distracted. Like, what is this? It's kind of a future living room. And then you go in a other car. It was like an old school living room from the grandparents, kind of. Yeah. With a little bit of smell of old world. That was actually what is called the design Leistung, the thing what BMW at that time did. And they produced it, you know, they did it.
Yes.
That was great that time. Maybe too early for them.
Yes, a little bit too.
And I know Adrian a bit, the designer, he did the i8 as well. And I thought for him, maybe this is the design mark, the i8, but I think it's more the i3.
Yes.
For me, it's the i3. What I really like, for example, if you talk about BMW and the M1, Z1 was one of the, I think, most brilliant cars, wasting money, kind of, you know. It was like a killer style thing, still is. And maybe nowadays there is the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
I was like shocked when I saw it first, positively and negatively. Positively first, it's so consequent that somebody does something like that. I think every designer is like, wow, they just did it. Negatively, it's just a car which I think nobody needs. And this design quality is not, you know, it's, if I look at the details, there are no details.
No.
It's actually a nothing of a nothing, which is kind of interesting. Again, why don't German car manufacturers go with one of their lines, throw a stone really far away in the future?
Yeah.
Like, for example, you saw the Porsche bus, you know? Mm-hmm. That was, for me, a striking moment as well.
Indeed. I mean, the bus is amazing. We have been talking about the striking moments in design. I think we should switch a bit more to you personally. So what is your dearest memory with the car that's in your garage?
Yeah, with all the cars I have still in my garage, it's just like this thing. You know, there's so many memories, which is hard. I just sold my first Porsche, which I bought in the late 90s, which, you know, Curve started with that car. And I just sold it and everybody said, like, why did you sell it? The car is 300,000 miles on. It's very nice still. It's a G model, but I need to do everything. It's so expensive. And I have 5 other cars. So, you know, you have to decide what to do. But I got so many car moments. And of course, when we married, I took the car and still have it.
Mm-hmm.
My first Lancia blew up on the highway from Salzburg to Munich, 3 o'clock in the morning. That was my Italian moment.
That's a very Italian car.
Great
moment.
Italian moment. It's still forgiving if you have an Alfa in the garage and sometimes it doesn't start. Second great memory I have with a Mini Cooper.
Yeah,
I had that when I was driving also on a road. I was, I think, 25 or something to my girlfriend. Went through a watery road, like what's it called, a Pfütze, you know.
A puddle.
The whole electricity died, you know. Imagine at night, 100 on the Autobahn, very special moment as well. And when I first bought, for example, my first Porsche, I bought it because of closing the door. I closed the door and said, okay, I have to buy the car.
Mm-hmm.
Because how it felt and how it sounded, you know, it was so good. And for BMW, for example, the art cars are super striking to me.
Yeah.
I had a very great moment when I met the guy who was painting all the cars for the artist. I think he's still living.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And I went to his workspace and he pulled out all the pictures of the artist, like Calder, working with him. I was like, what is going on? You know, this is like, wow. So these are mostly the moments what I combine with cars. The same restoring a Beetle, you know, you start a relationship. Or, yeah, if you go to Villa d'Este and you see all these posh cars, like how they are made. And, you know, like nowadays I can't even drive with them. You know, that's a nice thing on Curves also. It's like 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I just call up people and say, can I come to your garage? Yeah, sure, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, 13 years ago, it was impossible. Now you just Insta or call them up and you go in the garage and you can sit in a Bugatti Atlantic, for example. You know, like, yeah, amazing, okay, let's go for a ride. Or a BMW M1 Pro car. Yeah, come on.
Let's do it.
do a lap. And you're like, no. So these are my car moments. You know, they never stop. I don't have a specific one. It's just like going crazy all the time.
So for you, Stefan, the most scenic road ever, what would be the one for you personally?
It's like, if you have tons of children, ask what's your favorite children, kind of, yeah?
So I left that question out for a reason.
In the area where I live, I like to go around Switzerland, Andermatt, and drive the five passes. Mm-hmm. I can do this in 2 days from here. You know, we start at 4 o'clock in the morning and then you are there. You just do a round, sleep there, do a round again and go back. Because it's like the area is so nice. It has so much history as well. And the passes are so different and they're very close together. And you just drive from pass to pass. But the Patagonia trip last year was just like killer style. It was just like my brain was recalibrating all the time. So, and it's not a curvy road, you know, it's more a huge trip through a landscape where, you know, you think, wow, Iceland is amazing. You know, it's so close to from us. It's only 3.5 hours of flying. You go there, it's like a catharsis for your brain. Because the landscape, everything is so different and it leaves you alone with yourself. It's like you're kind of lost. The most scenic road is, oh God, it's so hard to say. It's really hard to say.
And if someone would like to enjoy that, what would be your advice of doing an amazing road trip? So what is the do's and don'ts for the planning or for the excitement of doing something like a road trip?
Planning is a thing you should plan. Go mm-hmm. go with a map first, you know. Just hang it somewhere and then you actually, your brain perceives to the road and you know actually then where you are. If you do it digital wise, you don't learn actually. With a road map, you just have it there and your brain learns from the map. So
mm-hmm.
Know your speed. You know, some people like to travel for 100 kilometers, some for 300 a day.
That's a very important point, yeah.
Yeah, and some people like to sleep long. Some people like to wake up at 4. So know your speed, that's very important. It's more important if you travel with a team because people are different.
Sure.
And plan ahead a bit. You know, take your time planning it because planning is a half trip.
Mm-hmm.
Then don't rush, you know. The thing is, when I sometimes travel with people, they're full of adrenaline because now I'm there, you know, I worked my whole year and now I have a week off and expectations are so high. But sometimes if you're in the Dolomites, even getting up at 6 o'clock, you want to drive the road, you think it's empty, you're out of season, and there are the vegetable trucks in front of you, you know, they are in front of you. Don't get stressed, relax, you know, just take your time, you know, go with the flow. That's, I think, the most important thing. Then if you're on the road, go with the weather. You know, sometimes it's just bad weather. Then rethink your route. And I hardly pre-book hotels on my trip. Actually, not more than 1 or 2 days.
Okay.
And the biggest thing is never go on holiday season. Never. Okay. This is the law number one. Never go in August, you know. Never go middle of June, July, till end of August, you know, in mm-hmm. the Alps. You know, it's full. Easter, full. Pfingsten, full. Try to avoid it.
Yeah, people are dependent sometimes on, because of family reasons, to use the holiday time. But then maybe you can find a spare week or a couple or longer weekend to do a road trip. And that should be done outside of the season. I think that's a very nice advice. So plan, find your own speed. I think that's the most important part that many might not taking enough consideration of, finding your own speed. be flexible at the same time, because that planning might allow you to be flexible and also be open to new things and don't plan everything like hotels and restaurants, where to eat and stuff like this. This just has to come with the road.
And enjoy the trip.
That's the...
Try to, you know, people are asking me about GPS files for navigation systems. I have them now. I said, like, if you have a map, you know, a road in a mountain goes up and down, you know, it's not Tokyo, you know, so keep your eyes open, you know, and if you plan with a map, you already know where to go.
So be more like biking people.
Yes, kind of.
Perfect. I think this is a wonderful advice and a wonderful closing of our podcast. And I hope you will inspire many, many people out there worldwide to do things out there, which whatever form of mobility, from walking to driving, just go out there and enjoy the nature that surrounds you and the most beautiful places. Stefan, thank you very much for taking this time this morning to join us for our little podcast. It was a really eye-opener, and I think now I need to plan my next road trip.
We can do it together if you like as well.
That's a very nice idea. Stefan, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And for those who enjoyed this little episode about going out and driving the most beautiful roads in the world, please leave us some stars in the rating. That helps us to get more publicized and more public. And if you have not pushed the subscribe button, please do so, that you never miss one of the episodes of Classic Heart. I would like to thank again, of course, as always, the whole team behind it, Frederico von Königswald, who is our editor, Robin Zeiser from Shot One, who holds all the ends together, and Marcus and Alex from Scenario Studio in Munich that make us sound very well. Thank you all. And of course, thank for joining us today, Stefan Buchner. Thank you very much.